meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome, and what do I say? Happy Valentine's Day, or happy Lent?
Happy Lent.
Happy Lent.
Ash Wednesday.
It takes precedent.
No. Happy yes. Ash Wednesday.
So what do you do? That's a bit of a...
Oh, yeah, happy, yeah.
Somewhat of a conflict, no?
Or blessed. Well,
really.
You know what, Father? I was thinking somebody... It's St. Valentine's Day.
Valentine.
He was a saint.
He was a saint,
right.
A martyr.
And he was a martyr, so people don't think of, you know, him being tortured, and you just think of, oh, you know, the pretty hearts and all that, but St. Valentine was a martyr. He was a saint.
Yeah, when I think of St. Valentine, I think of St. Valentine's Day Massacre here in Chicago. I remember the movie way back
then.
I love
the movie.
I did too, yeah. I was just I think in junior high school. And that's what first comes to mind for some reason. But certainly our emphasis is on Lent. We'll be talking about that. But we can say a little bit about St. Valentine.
Yeah, the real St. Valentine.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I wish I would have brought that article. I was reading an article about the cards. Do you remember as children, I don't know if the kids still do this or not, but we always sent a Valentine card to our classmates.
Okay, yeah. Valentine.
You know, you decorate a little box, you put a slot in the box,
we
and
did
the
that
kids
when
would,
we were kids.
On Valentine's Day, everybody comes and they...
You put a card in there.
Card in there. And they always had cute little things like, I wish I had brought that down.
Yeah.
Well, the school kids gave you a card, no fun?
Right, not...
It was on Valentine's?
Not Valentine's. It was just the fact that this is the first time we've had a school mass.
Oh, since you came back.
Since I came back.
Okay.
And so it was very nice, you know, the preschoolers and the fourth graders and the different grades made cards. So it was very nice. You know, how you're the best priest, and we love that you have mass for us, and that you teach us about Jesus, and you're the best, Father, and, you know, there's nobody like you,
you're number one.
So you're number one, you know, you're my favorite priest. I'm the only priest they know. But,
right.
You know? But anyway, it's nice. And then you draw pictures draw a picture of me or something,
right.
And...
With a cape on, he's Superman.
With a cape, you know.
A smiling face.
Either they've got a picture of me celebrating the mass, or in the black, in the clerical stuff. And anyway, so it's nice, you know. Yeah, you're the best.
See, I wonder today, since mail is kind of a thing of the past, I mean, do people do those? The kids go to school and, you know, give Valentines to everybody?
You know, I don't even know if our kids do that.
Is that still legal? Is that still an issue?
Well, you give it to boys and girls, right?
Right, but there's always somebody that gets
left
offended
out.
Or, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't offend anybody if you get the whole class cards, but...
I saw some people, they were posting stuff. Pictures of their children's drawings, and they put, oh, I love mommy and daddy, and they put hearts there. So
yeah,
I guess they still do.
Well, you know, I don't recall that we ever gave our parents anything for Valentine's Day, and they didn't give us anything for Valentine's Day. They just had to go buy the cards.
Right.
You get a packet of cards, and then you start filling them out. Right. And then that's
or candy, you know, those heart candies with the Be My Valentine.
I remember.
Right,
those.
Exactly.
Those I remember. I don't know if they still do that.
We used to throw those at my classmates.
Oh, and tell, show them your love. Yeah. Like, throw it.
So did you? So you? Well, you both went. Both went to this
Saint
school.
Stance. Saint Stance. Yeah. Yes, Father.
So did you do that when you were in school?
When we went to school.
Did you?
Yes, yeah,
I remember.
We gave cards to each other and the hearts, the candy hearts and chocolates, which they still do. They give out chocolates.
They give out chocolates.
Yes, they do. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, so what did you? But it, so you went to Catholic school,
right?
Yes. Catholic school. This is Catholic, how the Chicago Chicago.
I went to Catholic school.
Catholic school. So in the Catholic school, did you? You know what that is? That's an immigrant thing, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Catholic.
Because nobody says Catholic.
Because most of Chicago was immigrant people, Catholic. And they couldn't pronounce the TH. It was more like a D. Catholic.
Right.
Catholic.
Well, Tony Stoltz, when you say with, you say wit.
Wit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, a neighborhood
isn't,
thing.
Isn't about me now. Okay.
Very Chicago.
Well, Tony's very Chicago.
I'm Chicago. Yeah. I'm sassy.
But did you hear about the story of Saint Valentine, Valentinus?
Yes.
In school?
You went to Catholic school?
That was too long ago.
I don't remember of them telling us about St. Valentine's being a martyr.
Tortured.
Maybe it was too graphic for them. Yeah. Well, back then, I don't know. Now it's like
different. Yeah, speaking of that, that's interesting. So, you know, when they took the kitty corner from here, St. John Cantius.
Yes.
And I was there. I was part of that house. I was still technically part of that house. Canonically speaking, right. You know, so I belong to that religious house.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, way back when, and this is going back many years, when they closed the school, and the School for Fine Arts, Chicago School for Fine Arts, is for young people in the arts, when they leased it to them, they had to remove all the statues. Like, because they said it was offensive to the kids because of the violence that was depicted in the statues, like the crucifixion, and there was...
Now, this was back then,
this
right?
was back then.
Back then. Wow. So now back it's then. Even more so.
Now it's probably worse.
Yeah, it's worse.
But I thought, my gosh, you know, you think of what these people are watching, what the kids are watching on
yeah,
TV.
Exactly. Yeah, that's even the video
or
games.
Or even the video games, yeah.
Very
yeah.
violent.
It's a weird... We live in a weird time.
It's very contradictory.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Upside down.
I don't know. I don't want to be pessimistic or negative and all that, but
it's hard not to be.
Well, I was reading an article this morning too called "Relativism and Devices Are Dulling Your Kids' Minds," and this was after the mass. So,
yes.
At the mass, I mentioned to the students, you know, that as you fast, because in Lent we fast, almsgiving, fast, prayer, and I, you know, of course by tradition, you give up the sweets and you give up. Yeah, the candies and all that kind of stuff, and things you really, really like pizza or whatever it may be. But, you know, that it really does make sense that today we would incorporate into the fast the these devices, the cell phone and the internet, especially the cell phone, because I think that's what most people, I think you get everything on the cell phone.
Everything's
now,
on
right?
the cell phone. It's a portable computer.
Portable computer. So this is where people. It's kind of grafted into everybody's lives.
Yes.
And so I said, you know, not evil. Not just that we. Why do we fast? But to create space for God, you know, to nurture our relationship with God. But also, you know, so that we can communicate to each other. You know, develop some social skills. They say. They say. Who are they? Studies. I guess. I don't know. I read about it here and there, and I think it's true that young people are losing social skills, you know, the intercommunication.
Just like basic.
Basic communication.
Yeah.
Because of these.
The phone.
Being
I hate to say it, it's not just young people.
Oh, the older people.
Well, sure.
Yeah. My wife, Angelica.
Hey.
And I hate to do this, but it goes right into it. I asked her a question the other day, and she says, "What do I look like, Google?" And I said, "What?
What does that mean?
What Google, do I look like, Google?"
Yeah. Everybody, it's on the internet.
When anybody Google. Has a question, they go to Google to find out information. And
wow.
She thought it was a joke, trying, you know, the Father Tony style, and you don't do that to me because.
Really?
Yeah.
What? I'm lost. I don't know.
Well, you know, everybody goes to Google.
Right, and, you right. Know, if you want to,
there's
yeah,
a question.
Sure.
Nobody thinks about research anymore. They figure, okay, I can easily go to Google.
And right.
So I asked her, you know, I asked her a question, and she pretty much looked me in the face and said, what do you think I am? Google. Meaning, you know, as a joke toward
as
me.
As a joke. Oh,
right,
a
it
joke.
Was a joke. You know, it was a Father Tony joke where I took it serious.
You took it serious. Okay.
Right. It's like, yeah. But we laughed about it later on because it's like, what do I look like to you, Google?
Yeah. Well, see,
normally you would go to the Google and look.
Just look
it up. That's the gist of this article.
Exactly.
This is the gist of this article.
It's not just the kids.
So let me, as we, you know, kind of eventually move into Lent, because we're in the season of Lent, but the readings are, I love
Father,
these readings.
Father, you got to talk to her.
Like, I will, I will. I'll do that.
That'd be funny.
Absolutely. Because that was uncalled for.
It was uncalled for.
It was rude. You know.
Taken aback by that.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is, it says, relativism and devices are dulling your kids' minds. Mm-hmm. And it goes right to that point that you're making, that the electronics foster convenience, but the acquisition of knowledge is not a task of idleness. Let's see, how does this go? So society today praises and sensationalizes electronics in the classroom. This is even in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And in the laziness of youth, it is more enticing to students to gather a quick answer from their electronic device rather than to engage with educators in challenging discussions. And this is written by a teacher who sees this. And so he says what's happened is the devices, let's just say the cell phone, because you said it's the computer's right there.
Everything
yeah.
right there.
It's everything.
What it does is it dulls curiosity, the cultivation of there's a great need to cultivate the curiosity of children and through adolescence, because at that stage of life, man is most curious, but we're dulling the curiosity.
Exactly.
And he quotes Plato, of all people, the philosopher, who said that anything received into the mind of the child is likely to become indelible and unalterable. Therefore, it is important that the tales which the young first hear are models of virtuous thoughts, that the curiosity of the child is sacred because it allows a child to step into the mystery of life and begin their search for truth, which is something they've got to engage in that search. You know, so you talk about searching Google,
right.
You get instantaneous answer, instantaneous pleasure, instantaneous gratification. I'm having trouble talking because I'm congested. You know, I don't know if I'm getting a cold or what, but
it's so true, Father, because you have a question and then you look it up and it's there for you. Mm-hmm. It's given to you. You don't get a chance to use your brain to think. People don't think anymore.
And see, I think people, they may listen to this now or they may not really think about this. And I got to say, even for myself, maybe it's because of my age. You know, I'm not a young person. But I don't get into the Facebook. I don't get into the stuff you can do on this phone. But I realize, too, what's kind of missing now. And there's people, like we talk about, young kids who can, I can give this to my nieces and nephews. They know everything about this phone, and I don't. So it's like they're becoming so, you know, good with this.
But do you want to know? See, that's the thing. I don't.
Then there are people that, you know, once you know something, because I know even some of the things I've learned on this phone by myself, because, you know, I figure it's easy to learn, but it's controlling. I sense the control. I'm always looking at my phone. I'm always wanting to Google everything.
At one time, you don't.
And you find these phones now are your telephone books. They're your watch.
Everything.
They're everything. And it's hard to, you know, I feel for the people that say, well, yeah, I have to give my child the phone because I want to be able to know where they're at all times. But then you take the risk at, okay, what are they doing on this phone? And anything can be done on this phone.
Sure, anything.
So it's like a double-edged sword.
Yeah, it's a...
That's why even when you talk now, we're talking Lent, you know, things to give up. Yeah, try to divorce yourself from this phone. it's hard. I'm telling you, as an adult, I have tried doing that, but it takes concentration.
No, and I have to say quite honestly too that I'm guilty. Not on the phone so much because I don't carry a phone with me.
But a computer's the same.
I can't. But the computers, I'm in my office, and you go right to again Google or.
You need it now.
So there's a value to it. There's no doubt about it. There's value to it, but that it becomes addictive.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That it, even I find myself, and I have to catch myself from doing this. But so if I'm going to the chapel first thing in the morning after I get ready and everything, and I make a holy hour. Often I'll go beyond the chapel to my office to see. You know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to know what's going on in the world because you want to see what's happened over the night and all that. But also the emails whatever and what happens is you one thing will lead you to another thing it's not good. And so I have to consciously tell myself, okay, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to pray first, and then I will see what's happening in the world or what's going on.
Even that as an example. I need to pray. Well, before I pray, let me just look at my emails. Before long, 15 minutes is an hour, an hour and a half, and then, I don't have time to pray.
Yeah, and see, the thing that he brings out in this article, again, this is a teacher, but he said that he blames parents, and he says parents no longer feel an obligation to accept the parental responsibility of guiding their children to seek truth through their curious exploration of the mystery of life. When the child is distracted, parenting becomes secondary. The parent has unintentionally conditioned their child to engage in something that is instantly gratifying to them at the sake of their curiosity being fostered. And I see that, and you can't. I don't blame the parents, but I think we have to be conscious of what what's going on.
And I think about that, even like with addiction, a lot of times we don't. That's why I love the Lenten season so much, because it's time to look at ourselves or look deep inside. But even when you think of addictions, you don't even know that. You don't know how you could be addictive to certain foods. You don't know how you could be addictive to the phone or addicted to many things. Unless you sit down and you say, look, what are my actions? How am I, reliant on this?
Well, if you can't, you rely on it. If you can't live without it, can we live without that?
Right.
I have to, when I go to Rome, or I don't take
put it
any
away.
Of that. I put it away, and I feel this freedom, absolutely freedom. I don't want that stuff. I'm a thinker anyway. I like to walk. I like to think and pray. But see, this is the thing too. What is that doing to a child's curiosity for God, the things of God, all things sacred? Because really now everything is—it's got to be bullet points. People don't read. This is—I keep hearing this, and I think it's true. They're looking for bullet. In fact, I heard this the other night somewhere that even for the news, we're talking about educated people and all that—that they don't want to read entire articles.
Nope.
They read the headline, and that's it, or maybe a couple of lines. Yeah. It is what it is, but we do have to. You wonder what the future is going to be if we don't begin to wean ourselves away from this, or at least seek some kind of balance. Mm-hmm. It's like the thing with the cigarettes, it was very addictive, and so at some point society recognized the destructive destructive element to smoking, and began this way back in the 60s and the 70s. I think this campaign to really wean everybody away from cigarettes.
It's interesting because I was watching an older movie from like the 70s, and I realized how they're lighting up cigarettes, and that doesn't happen now. The movies now, it's all taken out. And I'd say to myself, I wonder if that's really helped any, because I still see people smoking, and there's just ads everywhere, too.
How odd, too, when you think of some of the old movies where they've got landlines. Is that what they call it?
Landlines.
And it seems so odd.
They pick the phone up and say, wait a minute.
Yeah. Really, really strange. Yeah, yeah, it's an interesting world. Yeah. So, but this is the reality today. But what do we do? How do we got to recognize the problem and how do we rectify it? What do we do? So I just say, as we've been saying, Lent is an opportunity to as we're choosing to to create the space. The reason for the fast is to it's a sacrifice in order to allow ourselves to think about God and the things of God and who we are, where we've come from, what are our obligations, what kind of witness do we give to others as a people who believe in God. By the way, speaking of God, you know, I want to get so much into the, okay, this is like Jesus, yesterday we were talking about how Jesus, because he had performed these miracles, he couldn't freely go into the towns openly. And then, of course, as he comes to the end of his journey, and we'll see this certainly as we come to the end of Lent, as we move toward and into the Holy Week, but there are those nefarious forces that want his demise, his destruction. They want him out of the way because he is the conscience of the people. So he couldn't, again, enter freely into the holy city because they were looking to trap him and take him. Eventually, he knows he's got to allow it to happen. He allows himself to be taken by force because he's got to fulfill the will of the Father, and that is to lay down his life. And he does that for love of the Father and for love of us, to redeem us, to save us. But this idea that, you know, we are not able to openly, we have to, but how hard it is today to openly profess not only your faith, but even your political position on things, because the environment is so hostile. And I was listening to a news report last night that the Vice President Pence, who's a very religious man, he was a Catholic, and his family's a very devout Catholic, but he converted to, when he was in college, he converted to the Evangelical Church, I believe it was. His wife was very devout and very active in the Evangelical Church, and he experienced what he would call a born-again experience, I guess, but he's a very, I see him as an admirable man, a very, you know, whereas the president is a little bit boorish and all that, you know, but you can't even speak about the president. If you support some of his policies or whatever, you can't, in the climate today and the environment today, you cannot, you can't publicly say that because you're automatically written off or you're you know, all that stuff. But the thing that was interesting, so this this commentary, somebody, and I don't get into a lot of this stuff, but I'm just saying, I want to make a point. Omarosa, whatever it was, this, I forgot this one. She was on the Apprentice. Was it The Apprentice or whatever?
Apprentice, yeah.
So she's really bashing the president, and even saying you think Trump is bad, she said, you know, Pence is worse.
That's what I've heard.
Because
a lot of people say that.
You say really? I've heard this first time I heard
yes.
this.
I've heard.
Oh,
that.
I've heard that.
He said he's worse because of he's and she said, well, I believe in Jesus, but he's a fanatic. Basically, she says he's a fanatic, and that he. He says Jesus talks to him or whatever, you know. Well, you know, on The View, and I've never watched it, but I've watched it a couple times at home when I was home.
This sickens me.
That is talk about sickness.
Yeah.
These women on that.
I'm gonna channel Jerry now.
Those women are vicious.
But vicious is right. Yeah. Oh, they are. Unbelievable. Yeah. But the things that they said about Pence.
The sad thing that about that.
That he's crazy.
Yeah.
Because of this faith he has in Christ Jesus. And even one of the, this was on the, I saw this on the news, but or it was one of these news commentaries. And one of the women. I don't even know who the women are. I don't. There was, the one is Joy Behar or something like that. Yeah. But Whoopi.
Whoopi.
Oh, yeah.
Whoopi's on there. Yeah.
Okay.
But the whole thing is disgusting to me.
Yeah,
the things that they say. And of course, the clapping seals. Everybody's there clapping and applauding and laughing and all that.
You know what the sad thing about this is? And I listen, or I think about what we do here. You know, what we do here gets not a mention, but something like that can be on every day. And there are so many people that follow that kind of nonsense.
Which is really frightening, I think.
It is, it is. And I don't know, again, if it's that point where... Do people realize how they get sucked into this kind of
stuff?
Well,
see, it's again, it goes back to this, the devices and all that. You know, we're very impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
We seek instant gratification. We live at a level that is rather superficial. Okay. All about feelings. We don't use our thinking. We don't rationalize. Mm-hmm. And it's all gut reaction to anything and everything. And So one of the there was one woman, I don't know who she was. She said, oh, "I'm a Catholic and I have faith." But she said, basically, she said he's a nut. He's and I thought, wow, you know, what is wrong with these people? But to say that he was that he's crazy, local crazy. Mm-hmm. She even said he's nuts. He's nuts.
Yeah.
And this is. Yeah, anyway.
It's just like anything I listen to lately, and this has become an awakening for me probably like in the last 10 years, where I start, and I consider myself open-minded. I am exposed to a lot of different things, but what I'm learning now more than anything or more than any time in my life is to take, there's personalities. People do things for whatever reason, to get ratings, to do, I don't know, there's that stuff in the background, but I've started to say to myself, when I hear things that are so like brutal that way, I don't want to have anything to do with you.
Sure.
You know, I firmly believe that people should be allowed to say whatever they want to say. I mean, I don't want to, you know, it's part of our freedoms to, you know, speech. But when it comes to stuff like that, either you are hurt. In other words, I walk away and I pray for people like that only because if they're trying to get ratings or they're trying to get noticed or they're just trying to, you judge people by the way they speak. You judge people by the content of what they say. And it's just there's no time for that in life.
Causing
dissension. It's causing...
The whole mainstream, the mainstream media is all propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
It's all,
And they don't even know what they're talking about.
Well, they seem to think
they
do.
But it's just
but they control the narrative, and it's a real manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned to
society.
Look between the lines.
If we're not thinking, mm-hmm. and see, this is again, it goes back to the technology. If we're mm-hmm. not curious and we don't use it, we're not using our imagination and seeking truth, or trying to, you know, use our reasoning, our capacity to reason, and to balance things. Mm-hmm. Then you know, we get people, too many people get swept away into that stuff, or maybe people because you can't openly speak about your values or your principles, your political position or whatever mm-hmm. it might be, or your religious profession, because it's automatically, you know, we've just been I mean, you know, like they were saying as in this commentary, they were saying that, for instance, in this case where they're talking about Jesus and, mm-hmm. you know, that Pence is, the vice president is nuts, cuckoo, crazy, mm-hmm. all this. If they had said that about Muhammad, they wouldn't dare do it.
Exactly.
No way.
Why you see that there's the agenda.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You see that that's something that's not right.
Well, Nick says we got to take a break, and we're way beyond. We're halfway into the show. And we haven't even gotten into Lent. But maybe this is all part of it, because we got to really pull away from this stuff, you know, or find ways to engage in the society. Because this is all about what Lent is about, giving witness. It's a time of purification in order for transformation and sanctification to happen, so that the church's mission can be all the more evident, you know, that we can bear that light a bit more bright in this world that is more and more enveloped in a darkness, a very seductive, very deceptive kind of a darkness. I always think of, what, you know, Jesus came into the world, the light came into the darkness, but people chose rather to stay in the dark. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. Interesting, isn't it? Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
As we approach the Great Fast, the season of Lent,
Father Anthony will offer the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy inside St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, beginning at 3 p.m. Ash Wednesday, March 6th through Friday, March 8th, and every Monday through Friday throughout Lent. He will pray before the iconic monstrance, Our Lady of the Sign Ark of Mercy.
Please join Father Anthony in this prayer.
It lasts only 15 minutes.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24/7, two blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststanschurch.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through eighth grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we begin the season of Lent. Well, I don't know if we got sidetracked or not, but, you know, and even in the break, we're speaking about the world we live in today, mm-hmm. the society we live in today, and how hard it is to, you know, I just started back having my full confession time, and it's so sad, you know, to hear what people are. It may not be people, you know, necessarily confessing their sins, but it's, you know, they bring their sufferings, you know, mm-hmm. what's going on in their what's happening mm-hmm. in their marriage or in the mm-hmm. family with the children. And Nick, I missed that, whatever you just put up there, so if you can put that up there again. But the it's like there's things are so broken mm-hmm. that how do you rectify this situation, mm-hmm. you know? And I say, you know, I always have to say, you know, God isn't a magician. Okay, let's see, one say how we can give up technology or items with it for a bit of Lent. So Lent. I'm congested, completely congested. So I'm fighting this as right. I'm talking, you know. But the point is that, you know, people, their lives are devastated. Mm-hmm. Their families are devastated. There's the division. And it's very, very sad, and people are very sincere, and they're very hurt by what's happened, and it's something they're not able to control, because let's say the husband or the wife or the children or whatever, they're kind of lost in cyberspace, mm-hmm. or they're caught up in the ways of the world, and they have, as this article says, you know, the young people, teenagers, because of this, they lose their curiosity, mm-hmm. they lose their capacity to reason, to think. Because everything is instant information, mm-hmm. instant gratification, and it goes back to this relativism that, you know, it's just like one truth is as good as another truth. There is no truth, mm-hmm. you know, and so it's very much mm-hmm. being controlled by one's feelings, and so parents or people who have faith, who have the humility, and the wisdom, to seek, you know, God, to grasp at the mystery that God is, and to stay with that. And it's one of the things, you know, many will say, you know, it's just that, you know, they're going through, they have their own trials and tribulations, and but they have the wisdom to persevere in the faith and to remain grounded in God, because this other stuff is
it's all passing.
We're passing through this diabolical disorientation, and things are passing away. But in the meantime, people are getting hurt. Mm-hmm. People are enslaved. Yeah. People are lost. People are distressed. But they don't, you know, to try to bring them back into the faith, it just doesn't it doesn't make any sense to them, because there's no instant gratification there. And it's, sometimes people come there looking for that. I says, but this is, you know, this is, it's not going to happen here. You know, you could have a St. Paul experience, you know, an awakening to the faith, and that would be the hope that, you know, and God does do that. I mean, I meet people that have, and I've mentioned this before, you know, people who have come to the church, they didn't know why, but they were drawn here, and they came through the door, and there was this a conversion experience. Well, that happens, but it doesn't mean you're going to fly out of the church. You're going to have to get back into the dirt of life and, you know, wrestle with these things, but at least know now that God has your back, and you try to keep yourself grounded in God. But it's not we're not a church of entertainment. We're not mm-hmm. going to entertain. We're not going to, you know, I can't perform for people. Yeah. And so I'm thinking of another instance, a case I had the other day, but and I feel so sad for these people, you know, and it is draining them. It there's a great sadness and a great, I always think when we speak of the suffering faith, it's because we see, we have something very beautiful. We find the pearl that has no price, as the scripture says, and so it radically transforms our lives. It changes us, and but your hope and prayers that others will find it as well. But it doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. In fact, what it says is that, you know, it reminds us that life is hard. We are pilgrims on a journey. We're in the valley of tears. We have to suffer the distress and the oppression and the depression, you know, the stress, all these things, persecution. I mean, it's all part of life, and we don't seek to escape in any kind of destructive way, but we learn to stay in this story, so to speak. But, and to carry the cross, as Jesus said, you pick up the cross, you follow me, but that he's with me. And see, our faith is about sacrificial love. And this is something that I think we've really gotten away from, is that our love, the love of a Christian, has to be sacrificial. We emulate Jesus, who laid down his life. And so we suffer for these people, our people, members of our family, or we suffer for them because we know that it doesn't have to be, or that they've made choices that have consequences that are very painful and rather enduring. And this was an instance I was dealing with the other day. And so they come and they're basically, people are crying, you know, because we've been away from the church and we ended up in this or that or whatever. And it's basically destroyed the family. It's destroyed our lives. We live in fear for reasons. I don't want to go into all this, but so basically they hit rock bottom. So we come back to the church, and what can the church give me? It's just, you know, a Christ. You know, you've got to be willing to enter into the discipline of the faith mm-hmm. and to persevere in that, because it says it's not going to, you know, your problems aren't just going to, at the snap of a finger, go away, but you got to put your faith and trust in God that he's going to see you through this, and he knows his own, and so he, you know, he can, as scripture says, as Jesus says, you know, good will come out of out of evil, and light will come out of darkness, and eventually life will come out of death. But you've got to stay with the program, and you got to stay with us. You can't just, and don't expect that you're going to come here, and you're going to, you know, we're going to. It's you have to suffer it. You have to suffer it.
And think of that instant gratification.
Well, that goes
people
back
walk
to that,
away because it's not. You don't want to do the hard part.
It's the hard, yeah.
You know, I think of when Jesus came here. He didn't, like you say, tiptoe to the tulips. He came in. He suffered and he died, and he died for us. And that's if people really had a grasp of that and knew what that really was about. I mean, I
well, see, the realism of our faith is that Jesus didn't hold anything back in telling us that life is not easy. Yeah. And
it's like, well, the world tells you, yes, it is. Do this. You can have this.
Well,
it's, have the new thing.
Yeah. Because that's what, again, you know,
and we fall for
the Shah of Iran and my father said this as well, that the downfall of the Western world will be the cause of the media. And I believe it because it creates an illusion. You know, it's everybody looks beautiful. Everybody has a happy face, and any kind of tragedies, you know, there's beautiful music behind that, and you know what I'm saying. But even aside from that, that's one thing. But I've said this before, and I really don't go to movies. But I, you know, now because of the internet, you know, the movies you can check, you know, get the trailer or whatever. But the violence is unreal. Yeah. I can't even watch some of these trailers because of I recoil, you know, the
violence and the vulgarity,
violence and the sex, you know, all this stuff. Yeah. And so you wonder, you know, this is the hypocrisy of it all, because now the Hollywood's they're caught, you know, all the scandals and the abuse and this and that and whatever. And I think to myself, or you know, I'm thinking of another instance that I've just been dealing with too, where a kid. Well, I don't want to go into it, but you know, he did something to somebody, and you know,
he's in trouble.
He's in trouble, and I'm listening to the pain of this mother, and who's blaming herself for everything. And I have to tell her, you know, that this is how do you expect young people, especially in the area of sexuality, when they are bombarded with images, and even, you know, they're now, I was reading in Great Britain, because I mean Europe is jeez,
it's a mess,
but in England, in Great Britain, it is now going to be absolutely required in public and private schools, Catholic schools as well. How they're going to do it, I don't know, because this is something that the church can't do. But it's either now law or it's becoming law, that already from the time children are in kindergarten, they are going to be taught, you know, transgenderism, the redefinition of marriage, all this stuff, you know? It's all part of the sexual curriculum.
How do you do that school in kindergarten?
They say it's age appropriate, but what is age appropriate?
There's no such thing as that anymore.
So let's get to Lent, because we're gonna have to take a break. Let's take a break and then we'll come back.
Yeah. Sure.
Because that first reading today, all the readings for this day in Lent are just so so beautiful. The problem is, we'll hear this, but do we have an environment that supports us in the journey we're now going to make together? Because we are so distracted by so many things. So we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change, and I am 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing. As we approach the Great Fast, the season of Lent,
Father Anthony will offer the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy inside St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, beginning at 3 p.m. Ash Wednesday, March 6th through Friday, March 8th, and every Monday through Friday throughout Lent. He will pray before the iconic monstrance, Our Lady of the Sine Arc of Mercy.
Please join Father Anthony in this prayer.
It lasts only 15 minutes.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24/7, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststandschurch.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through 8th grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I just want to say one more thing. We were just talking about this during the break as well. And we're just asking questions, you know. Right. I mean, I think everybody, maybe not everybody, because otherwise, I think some of us are.
Some are thinking.
Others are just kind of lost and all this stuff, and they think we're the nuts, we're the crazy ones, we're the local, we're crazy.
Right.
Idiots. Idiot. Why did I say idiot? I think people think we are.
Yeah.
So I was watching Dr. Phil when I was in Rochester, you know, and I don't.
Which is the first mistake.
I can't stand. That stuff just turns my stomach.
But isn't it like a car wreck? You start watching, you can't kind of look away. You have to physically say, okay, enough, I can't take this.
Well, exactly.
That's what happens to me.
But it caught my attention because I was, you know, flipping the channels and all that. I was waiting. It was in between appointments.
And that's how it draws you in.
Well, I didn't draw. It draws you in for a moment, right. But then I just I can't watch this. This is just
too much.
This is because this is not my reality, mm-hmm. and yet it is reality. It's a sad reality,
mm-hmm. right?
But they had a case where a young woman was addicted. We're talking about addictions. Mm-hmm. Addicted to psychics.
Wow.
And so I forgot the money, but it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, she lost her home, she lost her car, she lost everything. Because she was spending money on these psychics, right. just going from psychic to psychic, looking for someone to tell her what she wanted to hear,
right.
and that everything was going to be okay. Well, you know, the thing is, everything will be okay, yes, if you have humility mm-hmm. and the courage to stay on this narrow path, as Jesus said. It is, in other words, and this is the realism of the faith. Is that it's not an escape. Mm-hmm. It's really getting into the dirt. I always say the dirt of life, mm-hmm. into the trenches to fight the good fight, but to cleave to Christ, keep our eyes on God, know where we've come from, where we're going, and yes, be okay with the mystery of it all. We can't exhaust, and this is the beauty of it. I think you can't exhaust the mystery that God is. But God doesn't. God isn't about instant gratification. Mm-hmm. He drags us through the desert, through the dark night. We become wise. Our faith goes deeper from the things we suffer in life. Jesus said, "You're not gonna avoid it. It's not you. You can't avoid it." Now, the world will give us many ways to try to avoid. the real stuff of life, you know, which is a commitment to each other. It is, in a word, sacrificial love. But again, it means that we're a reasoning people, that we are seeking, you know, I guess what's lacking in many people's life is purpose and meaning. You know, unless the purpose and meaning of my life is to have X amount of money in the mm-hmm. in the bank, to have this kind of, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we're certainly in a position where we need to repent, and that's what the readings are. We're going to hear this. The gospel opens with this call to repent and believe that the kingdom is at hand. But you've got to, you know, seek to be converted. There's got to be a conversion. There's got to be a change. We need metanoia. We need a transformation. We got to change. We got to dance to the tune of a different drummer, so to speak, right? And I love the first reading from the prophet Joel this morning, if you go to Mass today. But because it's a beautiful thing, and this is what the church is doing. We're calling everybody. You know, the reading says, the Lord says, "Return to me now with your whole heart. Don't come to me with a divided heart. Bring your whole heart." And he says, to do this, you know, come with fasting, with weeping and mourning. In other words, realize how you've fallen. Realize how you've deviated. Realize what you've done to yourself and you've done to others, you know. And we have, you know, as a people. What are we doing to our children? What are we doing to their children, the innocence of a child? That when Jesus says, be like the children, that, you know, they have the innocence, be childlike, be open to wonder at the mystery of God, again, the curiosity and all that, but we're taking that away from our children. And so, you know, realize what's happened and come with your hearts, rend your hearts, not your garments. And he says that, for gracious and merciful is God. He's slow to anger. He's rich in kindness. He is relenting in punishment. And he will relent. He will leave behind a blessing. So, you know, that's the good news, right? There is a way out of this. Mm-hmm. But it means to get on this narrow path and to be willing to bear responsibility, to take responsibility, to fulfill obligation before God, which means that we live in a right way with each other. And so, having said this, you know, God is saying, okay, I promise you, I'm kind, slow to anger, I'm merciful, I'm gracious. If you come to me, I know my own, and I will take care of you, I will be with you. But again, it's not instant gratification. He's not going to, you know, it's a snap a finger, he's not a magician, he's going to wave a wand and everything's going to go away. No. He will bring good out of evil, light out of darkness, life out of death. But we've got to be willing to walk this path. And again, Jesus held nothing back in speaking about this is a very difficult path, and very few can stay on this path, you know, the path that leads to eternal life. And as Peter says, well, how can man be saved? He says, but for man it's impossible, but for God all things are possible. So he says, okay, so and this is the beautiful thing. He says, blow the trumpet in Zion, proclaim a fast, call an assembly, gather the people, notify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the infants at the breast, let the bridegroom quit his room and the bride her chamber, between the porch and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare, O Lord, your people, and make not your heritage a reproach with the nations ruling over them. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? Where is their God? And the Lord was stirred to concern for his land and took pity on his people. So that's the question, you know, where is God? Or God says, where are my people? Mm-hmm. Where are my people? And I have to say, quite honestly, you know, here in the city, and we're right in the city, right in the heart of Chicago, in the you know, downtown, basically. And, I mean, not downtown, not in the Loop, but right on the edge of the Loop, but in the heart of Chicago. And it, maybe it's different in the suburbs, but I go through this every Sunday. I have to hold back a little bit, because there's a sadness when I see we have this beautiful church. I think we celebrate the Mass in a beautiful way. We don't do anything flippant, you know. Mm-hmm. We're very focused on who we are, what we're doing. It's the offering, the surrender, the entrustment of our lives through Christ to the Father, and so few people come, mm-hmm. you know. So few people come, you know, and this is any, you take any yearbook from parishes going back 50 years or whatever, mm-hmm. and the contrast is so striking, because we have entered into a radically secularized society that is gleefully mocking God and those who adhere to God, or they'll take, you know, those who are, we have, you know, we're a cast of characters. Mm-hmm. And they'll focus on people who are maybe kind of fanatical or whatever, mm-hmm. or they'll make somebody out to be fanatical, right. as they mm-hmm. did with the vice president, mm-hmm. it seems to me.
And they'll make fun and make fun and make fun.
Sure, sure. Is that to appease their own conscience? Sure. I don't, it's just crazy. It's really weird. But, so, you know, basically that's, we're just about at the end of the show here, but in the second reading, you know, and this is the thing, for those of you who are listening, you know, we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors for God, for Christ, as if God were appealing through us. And so St. Paul says, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who did not sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Working together, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. This is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. And maybe that's the bottom line as we end the show today. This is an acceptable time. It's an inconvenient time. Mm-hmm. It's not a season time. But it's the acceptable time, because if we're not true to who we are, if we're not living humbly, and I mean really humbly, but with courage and really heroism, our faith, you know, stay with God, persevere. The key is always perseverance in humility and surrender every day. Then we give people an opportunity to know, love, and serve God. Or that people are going to hit rock bottom. Mm. And when they do, they've got it like this. These people come and say, please, show us the way. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jesus, he's the way, the truth, and the life. But his way is not an easy way. So be willing to come down this path, and you'll be free. You'll be free. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see?